Good to see Zach and Al in a little while. I guess we're going to be heading back to their prospective schools. Is that right, Al? Are you heading back to school? Or?
Yes. Either Sunday after morning service or Monday.
And when are you heading back, Zach?
Probably Sunday.
Sunday, okay. And my son Josh was going to college for the first time. My Laurie and I are going to take him down. So Pastor Josh will be preaching on Sunday. So hopefully you'll be in your place and prayers and support for him. He's a good preacher. I like hearing him myself. So maybe I'll just cancel the trip and sit and listen to him. I don't know. Better not do that. My wife may not be too happy with me. But I'm looking forward to taking my son Joshua to college as well. Hebrews chapter 10. Having that, let us do this. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to see in this passage in the book of Hebrews tonight the revelation of our privileges and responsibilities as children of God. Having that, let us do this. Because we have rested our lives on the authority of God the Son and what He has said and done for us for our salvation, we have certain privileges and responsibilities. In fact, even in the common world, every privilege that God has given us has a corresponding responsibility attached to it. In previous parts of the book, if you'd studied through the book of Hebrews, I went through a lot of it with my Sunday school class, but for those of you who weren't in there, previous parts of the book, we see that the Son is superior to angels, He's superior to Moses, He's superior to Joshua, and He's superior to Aaron. And those are different levels of works representing those four names: angel, Moses, Joshua, and Aaron. Different works associated with those individuals. Angels, for instance, delivered the Old Testament, but God the Son delivered the new revelation. Moses let the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, but God the Son leads us out of the bondage of sin. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, but God the Son will lead believers to a promised heaven on earth. Aaron, as the Old Testament high priest, entered the earthly tabernacle and offered up sacrifices for the sins of the people once every year, after he offered up sacrifices for his own sins. But God the Son, who's greater, entered into heaven itself, the heavenly tabernacle, where he offered his own blood, not for any sin which he committed, for he committed no sins, but for the sins of the people once and for all time. The old covenant was written on stone, and we all broke it. The new covenant is written on men's hearts, and we are to live in relationship to God through Christ's gracious work. The old covenant's based on rules and regulations. Do this or you'll die. The new covenant is based upon privileges granted to us based upon Christ's work and the responsibility of having that privilege. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd open the truth to us tonight. Give us an understanding of it. Stir our hearts to yourself. Help us to see what we have afresh and anew tonight. And show us what to do because of it. What we should be doing. What we're directed to do. And by your Spirit, what we can do. And we need to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every privilege has its corresponding responsibilities. Let's look at the passage tonight. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, or his body, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As I said, every privilege has its corresponding responsibilities. And we'll see in this passage tonight, they've been there the whole time, but to really break it down and look at them might be something new. If you get a license, that's a privilege, right? You have a corresponding responsibility to drive respectfully. If you get a spouse, you have a responsibility to treat them with love and respect. If you're allowed to have a gun, you must learn how to use it properly, safely, respectfully, and honorably. And if you're going to shoot someone, make sure you shoot them before they shoot you, if they're planning on shooting you. That's not in my notes. I just throw that in there to wake you up. One police officer told me, we don't shoot to play games. And Marines don't fight to participate. They fight to win. And I think that's responsible. If you're going to get in a fight and the cause is right, you don't get in to participate, you get in to win. And it's very important that you use those responsibilities or privileges in a responsible way. We don't take guns and just go around shooting people because we have a bad day. And unfortunately, some do that. It's a privilege to have a job. Imagine that. If you have a job, you have a responsibility to work that job to the best of your ability and for the glory of God. Or you may lose your job. And if you don't act right, you might lose your situation. How many know what I'm talking about? That line, you might lose your situation. Just a few. Forget it. It's in A Christmas Carol. It's the man working for the Scrooge, and what's his name, the guy working for Scrooge? Tom or something? Anybody?
Cratchit.
Mr. Cratchit! That's who it is. It's Mr. Cratchit. And so Mr. Cratchit with the little boy. What's the little boy with the lame leg and, huh?
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. See, now everybody's waking up now. That's wonderful. Too many potatoes for the Sunday meal. And he says to him, and the guy is a Scrooge. I mean, you know, one coal of fire, it's freezing in there. Everybody is wearing gloves. What are these? You know, Mr. Cratchit's freezing. And Scrooge says, what are these? And Mr. Cratchit, he said, these are clothes. He's got like five layers of clothes on. That's why I don't run the heat. That's a Scrooge. But when life comes in, the course, by the way, it's a privilege to be a boss. That means you also have a responsibility. See, it works with everyone. No one gets away from the fact that if you have a privilege, you have a corresponding responsibility. And we're looking at salvation, a privilege of being saved tonight, and the corresponding responsibility with that. All right, what word, in the text we just read, it's used two times. Actually, it's used three, but one of them is thrown in italics. Used three times here, and the word denotes our privilege. What would you think it is? What word denotes a privilege that we already have? Having. Mr. White wins the prize tonight. I'm not sure what the prize is. He is right on. It's the word having. Now, scroll down. We're in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Starting in verse 19, where do you see the first having? Right, the very first word in verse 19. This is privilege. What we have in Christ, these are privileges. Having, therefore. Okay? And then we have another one where? 21. Having an high priest. over the house of God. And then I'm looking down here and I see another one in verse 22, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's full salvation, by the way. God cleanses up on the inside and He cleanses up on the outside too. Isn't that wonderful? It's true. So that's privilege. Look at the privilege having. I want to say it's a privilege to be saved. It is a privilege to be at Tabernacle Baptist Church. It's a privilege to be married to Laurie Lashley, whose last name is Long and has been for a long time now. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to have a car that actually gets us here. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to have lights. You know, I was turning the water on the other day, and it just hit me. I told this to Grace and Martin when I saw them yesterday. There was a generation, and they're part of that generation, where water wasn't on the inside. And I was laughing at something my father-in-law said when he was growing up as a little boy. How old is Brother Last? 80 now? 86? 86. So he said there was a big happening one time in the neighborhood, and everybody wanted to go see this. And he said, what is it? He said, some of the more wealthy people got an addition to their house. And he said, oh, what is it? No. How many? It wasn't a black and white TV. It was very exciting, even more exciting than that. Guess what? They have an outhouse on the inside. That's amazing. That's wonderful. So it's easy to forget about privileges. It's a privilege to have a bath, an outhouse on the inside of the house. That's a privilege. You know, we are loaded with blessings all over the place. And I don't know about this glamorous idea of living in past generations. I'm glad to be alive right now. I don't like all what's going on, but, you know, the noise can be shaken so loud in the house it knocked the phone off the wall. Well, young people don't understand that statement. Their phones aren't on the wall. Take that thing off the hook. What? What are you, a guy fishing or what, you know? Right? That thing's ringing off the hook. Young people, we don't know what you're talking about, a hook. Well, let's just say this. Any privilege that we have, even in America, we have responsibilities because of that. Did you know that God works it this way? The more privileges He gives you, the corresponding responsibility He gives along with the judgment seat too. Did you know that? Everyone is judged based upon the privilege that they were given. Are you aware of that with regard to rewards? Are you aware of that? Yes or no? This is true. So the more that we have been given, guess what? The more will be expected out of us. And by the way, that works for parents and kids too. Yes, it does. The more privilege you give, the more responsibility you expect from your children. That's how it works. That's the natural way it works too. And it works that way in the spiritual realm too. So what word do you think is this word then for responsibility? Privilege was having, and then there's a word used three times again for responsibility. Now look down in the text here and see if you can find a statement that is repeated three times. It's two words. Let us. Who said that? Did you look at my notes before this message, Linda? No, Linda wins a prize on that one. Ray got it right on the responsibility, privilege side, having. And Linda saw it and said, it is let us, and she is right. Let us. This is the responsibility side. So let's look at those. Verse 22, let us draw near. Where's the next one? Verse 23, let us hold fast. and verse what? 24, let us consider one another. Let me rehearse the privileges and responsibility again. Recognition of our privilege again. Christ is superior to angels because he delivered the message personally. Christ is superior to Moses, though Moses was faithful as a servant in his house, because Christ the Son is the Son and master of his house. Christ is superior to Joshua, though he led to a place of restful land. Christ leads to himself as a person of rest. Christ is superior to Aaron as a high priest because his offering is once and for all. And Christ's offering doesn't cover our sins for a year. It removes them from existence. Boy, I like that. Remove them from existence. If God has the ability to create, does he have the ability to create? Do you think he has the ability to erase what was created? He does. I will remember your sins no more. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's a privilege. So the first one, having, is having boldness. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This boldness involves our right of access to God based upon all the things that have been said concerning the Son of God. And the veil that he's talking about in verse 20, a new and living way, the veil in the Old Testament separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the blood of the Lamb was applied to cover the sins of the people. The veil, we realize, is actually a picture of Christ's body. So when Christ died on the cross, what happened to the veil separating the people from God? What happened to that veil? It was rent. Was it man's work, ripping it from the bottom up to God? Or was it God opening himself up to man, top to bottom? Which one was it? Top to bottom. It's always God first in salvation. Never forget it. God's working, and we're receiving, or we're rejecting, but God is always working. The second having here we see is in verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. This high priest over means ruling with absolute and final authority. Not temporarily, eternally. We have one. He's there right now. And what is Jesus doing right now as our high priest, which high priest did, offering up acceptable sacrifices unto God, and therefore he's doing what for us? Praying for us. Jesus continually prays for us. And by the way, God the Holy Spirit perfects our prayers so that Jesus can take them and give them to the Father. We got all kind of sanitized prayers when we don't even know what to pray as we should. God's always sanitizing our prayers and perfecting them before they get to the throne of grace. Aren't you glad of that? So come boldly, come bravely, because of Christ. Now, we don't merely stand there being admitted, having access, but we're fully received in fellowship as we enter in. Fully received, and that's different, isn't it? Fully received in fellowship as we enter in. And then notice this privilege also. You know, sometimes, verse 22, our heart will try to condemn us. Well, you know, you had this thought, you did this action, maybe you're not saved. That's Satan. What do you do when you lose your way? Go back to the beginning. I do. If you lose your way, go back to the beginning. And the beginning of our relationship's the cross. Never forget it. I reckon myself to be dead indeed in the sin every day. That's happened at the cross. And a living unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's resurrection. That's newness of life. Every day you apply the cross. So this is what verse 22 is talking about. We have that privilege. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That means in God. having that's already done. That's what the effect of His blood is. Our hearts are sprinkled like the Old Testament tabernacle. The heart, the blood was sprinkled on the altar, receiving the sanctifying the sacrifice. But we have been sprinkled in that sense from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That means we're clean through and through to be in the presence of God. You had to have clean hands and feet before you entered in as high priest. You'd look into those looking glasses, Exodus 38:8. They were bronze, and they were put down. The ladies would look in them. They would use them, and you pour water in them, and when you looked into it, you could see your reflection, and you see what needs to be changed. As we look into the Word of God, we see what needs to be changed. Who does the changing? The Holy Spirit does the changing. You look in the Bible and say, I'm really going to change. You're not actually the one that does the changing. You do the submitting, God does the changing. But you got to do the submitting if you want to be changed. The only difference you're going to be in character from this year to next year is the amount of time you look into the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. That's it. Other than that, it'll probably remain the same. I don't know about you, but I want to change to be more like Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the lines of a hymn, so near, so very near to God, we cannot nearer be. For in the person of His Son, we are as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, we cannot dearer be. For in the person of His Son, we are as dear as He. Wow. That's amazing. The Father sees me as His own Son. He loves me with the love that He loves His Son. You say, I don't believe it. It's true. Say, I don't live at that level. It's true. How can it be? It is. God said it, and that ought to settle it. Therefore, we need to believe it. That's privilege. Having privilege. Thank you, Ray. You picked it out. You got it right. That's having privilege. I like privileges. I like privileges. Anybody here like privileges? I like privileges. But every time you get a privilege, guess what you have to have with it? A corresponding responsibility. God, give me a child. God, give me a child. I gave you a child. God, take away this child. God, take. Just kidding. Right? God, please bring the grandchildren. Lord, when are they going to leave? Oh, I just. Thank you so much. Bye bye. My father-in-law used to tell us. I love seeing those headlights. We hadn't seen you guys in a while, but I like the tail lights too, I got to tell you. Very practical, man. I love my father-in-law. We're going to go see him. That's why I'm talking about him a lot. We dropped Joshua off. Laura and I are going to go have lunch with her mother and father and casually make our way back on that trip. Oh, that's a drive. That's a drive, isn't it, Zach? That's a drive. But anyways, the Lord will help us. That's our privilege. I like privileges. But every privilege has a corresponding responsibility. And let's look at them. The first one is, let us draw near. The second one, let us hold fast. And the third one, let us consider one another. What are they? Draw near, hold fast, and let us consider one another. The first one is draw near. And what verse is that in, folks? 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And this is an invitation. You might want to write beside that word, invitation. Jesus said it this way, come unto me. Are you heavy laden? Oh yeah, that's a salvation passage. No, that's a fellowship passage that includes salvation. That's a day-by-day invitation. Come to me. Let's have fellowship together. Let's walk through life together. Let's talk about this. and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Come to me. Every day, start with the Lord. Draw near, it's an invitation. And then the second let us statement of our responsibility, let us hold fast. That's a warning. A warning? Yeah. If you lapse into your works for salvation, you let go of Christ. It's not both. Hold fast onto what Christ has done for you and don't let go of it. That's salvation. I'm not dependent on one work I've done. I'm depending on the work of Jesus Christ. That's enjoying full salvation. And that is a privilege that has a corresponding responsibility. Now that you have it, don't let it go by thinking it's up to you. Hold on to it. And hold on to it fast. It's the idea of anchoring. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. The best works I can do. Man, that's growing old. Oh, wait a minute. That's not. No, that's not it. It's his work that holds us. And we're to hold on to the fact that he's done the work. All God's people say, amen. See, when he's done the work for salvation, we take that grace and we want to do other good works. Because we're saved by grace. People that are saved by grace want to work by grace. Did you know that? And that brings us to the next one. And that is verse what? 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, did you notice the first two are salvation and the last one is an expression of it? That's how it always works. Practically, it means this. I'm not really sure if I'm saved. Well, you won't be doing any good works. You won't be interested in doing any good works because you don't know if you're saved. And you'll be working to be saved. And there's never enough work to know if you're saved. Only the work of Christ assures salvation. But once you have it, don't let go of it. Hold to it fast. And if you do, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to start involving yourself in good works. Good works begin after Jesus comes in. Why? Because he's the good one. So the first two, by the way, are individual statements. Look at them. What was the first one of let us? Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. That's singular. All the word let us there is talking about individuals. We individually have to draw near to the Lord. Okay? And then verse 23, let us, is also singular. We as individuals have to hold fast to our profession of faith in God. I mean, have you placed your faith in God? If you have, don't move away from it. Don't go anywhere. Don't try anything else. Don't add anything to it. You can't add anything to perfection. Christ is perfection. Anything added to Christ takes away from Christ. All you need is Christ. He's the end of the law. He's completed it. He's the one. Hold fast to him. Those are individual mandates. But the third one is plural, meaning we have to do it together. It's something that we decide to do together. You must agree to do a good work or show greater love together as a group or a body. You got to agree to do it. So in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke in the love and the good works. And where do you think the chief place is that will take place? It's right here in the church. That's the chief place it'll take place. Therefore, the command, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, whatever your culture is. I like that. God doesn't mandate every culture do it the same way. When you come together, that's what he's saying, as your chosen manner is, what are you to do? You're to exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? the day of Christ's return. We are one day closer than we were yesterday to the return of Christ. At the end of this day, we'll be one day closer to the eternal glory. It's drawing nigh. Pray for it to advance, because it's coming. And it's coming sooner than you think, so you better be ready. Don't turn away from the house of God. Don't busy yourself with so many other things you can't come to the house of God. Encouragement, strong encouragement, exhorting is a word here. Encouraging one another. Who doesn't need encouragement? And then you keep in your mind that the day is approaching. That's how you'll be faithful in church attendance. This browbeaten letter of the law, everybody's in sin if they don't make all three, four services. Have you ever heard me say that? Think about it. Have you ever heard me say that? Nope. Sometimes you can't make it. People have jobs. Things like this happen. But I just said to my son, hey, you know, Kellogg's down here can give you a job, and you work a certain amount of hours, and on Sunday you can make $50 an hour. I said, hey, I'm going to go call those people and see what we can do here, you know. Man, that's pretty good. And I said, well, that's true. Now let's just think about this a minute. I want to go to college to study the Bible and not go to church on Sunday. How many of y'all think that's a good idea anyway? We're just talking it out. Nah, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Keep the main thing, right? Yes? But if your ox is in the ditch, please get him out. We'd love to see you. And when you're not here, we do miss you. But let us not ever call anyone and say, where were you at? No. Hey, miss you. Love to see you. Everything all right, you know? Yeah, my car's not working right or something. I don't know. Well, do you want me to come by and pick you up? I can do that. You know, we got a church van, too. They can pick you up. But I'll be glad to come get you if you don't want to ride a church van. That's how it works. If we're going to do a corporate work together, we got to agree on it. Now, we just did one, by the way. What was it? What was the corporate work that we all agreed to do recently? We either gave money to it, whether you realize it or not. We prayed for it. We worked the parking lot. Or we handed them out. What was it? The Little League track outreach. First base, you got to admit your sin. Call on the Lord, second, third. If you want a home in heaven, home plate. By the way, who won? Louisiana or something, right?
Louisiana.
Yeah. John asked me, did you see any game? No, I was actually studying. I'll have to watch a replay. But you know what? Games will come and go. And I'm glad for them. I enjoy them. But folks, this is real life. This is everyday godly living. We have privileges. And we also have corresponding responsibilities. And you know what? Let's come together and take those individual things. We come to the Lord ourselves. We don't let go of our profession of faith in the Lord. And then we think about one another. And that's how you come to the house of God. Thinking about other people, how you can stir them up to greater faith in God and to greater expressions of love through mutual acts of good works. And you know what the world says? In fact, the Lord says it. What will happen? As we were giving out these gospel tracts, and as we do, people will see a body of people moving. They'll catch on after a while when they get on the back and see that thing. This is what will happen. The Lord says this is what will happen. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Thank you for your word tonight, Father. Thank you so much for the privileges that we have. Help us not to take those for granted. Help us not to hold on to anything else but to Christ for salvation. Because that's all we need. Help us, dear Lord, to draw near to you day by day and moment by moment, to walk in fellowship with you. Hold on to our salvation, which is in you, in your work, our dependence upon you. And then come together, thinking about others. Stir them up to love. Stir us up to good works. And let the world see a group of people who love God, love each other, and love them too. All God's people say, amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.